This afternoon is Matthew 6, verse 11, as we see that in close relation to Lord's Day 50, dealing with the fourth petition. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to the fourth request in the Lord's Prayer, it may seem to us a superfluous request. That is, it may seem rather unnecessary considering our abundance. Our fridges are full of groceries. Our cupboards run over with 8 different choices of cereal. Day-old donuts are pushed aside because they're not good enough. Food is left on our plate at the buffet restaurant because we have filled ourselves. We can't eat anymore. And at the end of the day, the garbage dumpsters at McDonald's contain leftover, uneaten burgers and fries. And instead of using the standard, "Give us this day our daily bread," some of us may be more inclined to pray, "Don't feed me so much." Or, "Please help me not to eat too much today." We of all people in the world don't have the day-to-day worries of working for sufficient clothes, adequate shelter, and a regular constant supply of food. All of us have items on our monthly budgets that are much more substantial than the cost of food and clothes that are our needs. And when we're so rich, it's so easy for us to manipulate everything and arrange our own lives. And we can start to feel independent of God. And we tend to forget God in situations like that. And yet God wants us to remember to pray this petition in all sincerity and with a trust in the Lord. Having focused on the first 3 requests of the Lord's Prayer, we come now to the last 3. We've made it clear that there is a difference between the 2 kinds of petitions. The first 3 petitions have to do with our relationship with God. But when we come to the next 3 petitions, we see that they have to do with our needs before the face of the Lord. It is the second half of this prayer that brings our Lord more specifically into our lives. As well, when turning to the fourth petition, we see something that may surprise us. This petition begins with our basic need. That's somewhat unexpected. We might think that our Lord would want us to come to Him to teach us about or to fill us with our spiritual needs first, and then our physical needs. To pray for God's forgiveness of sins and to help us in temptation. But bread is placed first in the order of the Lord's Prayer. Now, why is that? Why does the Lord specifically bring that order? Well, it's because He wants to teach us that all life is under His rule. There is no such thing as a separation between the secular and the sacred areas of life. All of life belongs to Him, and all must be subject to Him. Our bodies and souls are important to Him. Not just our souls, but our bodies as well. He has redeemed us, both body and soul. He also wants us to be content with what we have. Moreover, we have this request because we should never presume that we're going to have food on the table. We need to pray and ask God for His blessings. Our trouble is that we so often come to God with our greeds rather than our needs. And since we have everything that we need, we pray for our wants. While the fourth petition brings us back to earth, the important thing is that we have our basic needs taken care of. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we'll carry nothing out. Therefore, we're taught to ask the Lord for His daily provisions and to trust in Him. And we want to consider this petition with 3 points. First of all, we see our need, our daily bread. Secondly, we acknowledge our source, our Father. And then thirdly, we make our request, give us this day. First of all, we see our need. And what is our need? Well, we need bread. We need it in order to live and work for Him. This is what Jesus commanded us to recognize and acknowledge when we pray those words, give us this day our daily bread. He wanted us to admit our need for daily sustenance and strength, which can only come from Him. Now, the word bread is referring to more than just a loaf. It's referring to more than just a shopping cart full of groceries. It has a much wider range of meaning than this, even though it is making reference to those things as well. What our Lord meant by this petition is that we ask Him to provide us for our physical provision. Listen again to what the Catechism says and the way that it explains this particular request. It says, that is, be pleased to provide for all our bodily needs. We're not only asking for food, we're asking for everything necessary for the preservation of life. We're asking for whatever helps us to live. There are other things that we need to have other than food. What are the other things that we need, children? Other than food, according to the Bible, what is the other need that we have? Well, according to the Scriptures, we need both food and clothing. If we don't have those, then we're going to die. These are the things that keep us alive. As God's Word says, having food and clothing, with these, we shall be what? Content. Now, we might think to ourselves, we don't suffer for lack of these things. In fact, we live with so many riches. Farmers in Canada may sometimes worry about the weather and how their crops are going to go in the growing year. But because of technology, we don't seriously worry about what a drought might do and how it might leave us starving in the wintertime. Our grocery stores are always filled with what we need. All we have to do is take an hour through a store and our carts are full. And so why should we see our need of these things when we have plenty of food in our refrigerators and our closets are full of clothing? Well, if that's how we feel, then we've really missed the point of this request. It ought to amaze us to think that our Heavenly Father, the God who controls this universe, who's made the stars and the heavens, who has created the universe as we know it, would stoop down to us and to give us what we stand in need of. That same holy God makes sure that our physical needs are met. We can't even survive without Him. Actually, we should even be more thankful to Him because He has given us more than what is necessary for our lives. He even goes beyond our needs. We don't deserve even the most basic thing that we must have in order for Him to sustain us. It's all the more reason why we should give the Lord the thanks for what He has done. Yet how common it is today for people to take this for granted, or to expect everything, where needs are turned into wants. For example, demanding that the government owes us all a living, or that the government should supply us all with medicine. So often we even confuse our needs with our wants, and our wants become needs. But we need to pray for our needs. Now, why does Jesus use this picture? Well, if we know our Bibles, We know what he's getting at here. He's making us think about the Israelites in the wilderness and how they were given manna, that bread which they gathered each day, which was just enough for them to live on. Life in the wilderness was very hard for them. Soon the children of Israel began to grumble and say that it would be far better for them to go back to Egypt, where they could eat their leeks and their onions and their watermelons and their cucumbers. And in response to these complaints, God promised to rain bread from heaven. And we read in Exodus chapter 16, the next morning when the dew lifted, there remained behind on the ground a small round substance as fine as frost. It was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. The manna that God gave was to be eaten on that day. And if they kept it overnight, it would breed worms and would smell. God's provision of bread from heaven lasted 40 years until the day when God's people came across the border of Canaan. And as soon as they took possession of the land, the manna stopped. The important lesson is, God provided for his people. And they were to depend upon him each day for their daily allotment. And we also find the same thing a little later on with Elijah in the wilderness. We didn't read that story this afternoon. We read about Elisha, but you remember Elijah, children. And how he came to that widow in Zarephath during the famine. This woman and her child were just about to die. They were gathering up some sticks to make a meal for their last one. And then they were going to die after that. But God provided in a miraculous way. That jar of flour never went empty. And the jug of oil never was used up, because the Lord was providing each day as they made bread for themselves. Do we trust God alone to provide for our needs? Think of the blessings that God has given us. We're given other blessings, like houses to live in, families. We have work that we might be able to eat our bread. We have favorable weather to live and work in. We still live in somewhat of a peaceful land. We're not in a crisis of war. All of these things are from his gracious hand. Even some of the smaller things that we often take for granted, like running water, electricity, and heat. Yet even these are good and perfect gifts from our Heavenly Father. It shows us how much he loves us. He gives us more than the necessities of life. He blesses beyond what we need. If we don't see our need for bodily provisions from the owner and possessor of the heavens and the earth, then we miss the point of this prayer. Brothers and sisters, we have to have bread. And he gives it to us, even though we don't deserve this. That's something that should excite us. To think that he supplies for all of our physical needs. What a wonderful thing that is. We have a God, as Psalm 146 verse 7 says, a God who gives food to the hungry. He has promised to meet all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19 says. Have you ever gone without your daily bread? Not unless you prayed for it. There's a story of a single mother who went out with her little girl to get some food. And they were hoping to get a sandwich and a drink and maybe some chips. And so she went first to the ATM, where she discovered that there was a problem with her accounts. She didn't have any money. And as she slowly and sadly walked away, she said, "I'm sorry, baby, but we don't have enough money." That was hard for a 5-year-old to accept, and so this girl started to protest. Her mother threw up her arms. "Well, what do you want us to do?" I don't have any money. And the girl just said one word, pray. And so her mother looked up into the blue sky and prayed that God somehow would make a way, that he would even give them $10 for a meal. And after she prayed, she decided to go back to the cash machine to get a printout of her account, which she did, and she found that the situation was the same. And so they started to go home. And as they started to go home, walking down the street, a woman came from behind, and she could tell that they were in some kind of trouble. And so she asked what was wrong. And when the woman heard that they had no money, she reached into her purse and said, here, allow me to give you this loan. And as the woman was thinking, well, how am I going to pay this lady back? She said, only don't think of it as a loan. Think of it as if God was telling me to give this to you. And that goes to show us that it is the Father's pleasure to take care of his children. This is the promise of the fourth petition. It implies a promise that the Father will provide for his children. Well, that brings us to our second point. Secondly, when we make our request, we're acknowledging our source. Notice that we must say, give us our daily bread. Our daily bread. It's not just our own. We're given it not just because we deserve it. It's not ours by right. It's the Lord who gives it. He makes it our possession. The question is, why does he provide it and make us call it our own? Well, it's because he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the source. He is the provider. He gives us all that we need. This petition then is undoubtedly a confession of dependence. What we're saying is, Lord, I realize that you are the source of my life. You give me food, clothing, and shelter. You give me everything that I need. And I'm thankful for this. Again, we may not be crying out for food out of starvation. We may not have to say, and hopefully we'll never have to say, oh God, I'm in great need. I don't have enough food in my cupboard to feed my children. Where am I going to get it? Thankfully, we don't have to say that. And hopefully, we won't ever have to say that. But what we certainly can say to him right now is, everything that I have is from your gracious hand. All that I share with my family and friends is not my own. It's a gift from you. And I'm thankful for it. That's the way our catechism explains this petition. If you notice the words there, Lord's Day 50 says, what we're saying is, you are the only source of everything good. And that neither our work and worry nor our gifts can do us any good without your blessing. That's why Jesus commanded us to use these words, because we have a tendency to think that we can provide for ourselves. This is the overconfident attitude that we see in the world, and it has affected us as well. We live in a day when people think that they can make it all on their own. They go to work to make money, and they think that it all belongs to them. They save it up only for themselves. They spend it on themselves. And they take pride in themselves for it, forgetting that the Lord of heaven and earth is the one who gave them these blessings. But this is an attitude that God will correct if it is in us. He doesn't want us to think like that. He wants us to ask him, because he is a loving father to those who belong to him. We need only to ask, to hold out our hands and say, give, and we receive in abundance. We see this in the life of his people Israel, as well as our own times. Time and again, we're reminded about the truth of the Savior's words concerning the Father's good and gracious hand. Jesus said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows what you need, even before you ask. God's word is full of His generosity. And it puts us to shame. We're so possessive. We buy and hold on to the things that we have. We don't easily let go of anything valuable. But God is not like that. He's the Lord. He's the great giver of many gifts. Brothers and sisters, when is the last time that we sincerely prayed, Lord, I thank you that I have food, clean water, clothing, and a place to rest my head? Are you really thankful for what God gives? Do you really see that God is the source of everything? Children, do you pray with thankfulness for your food at the dinner table? Not because, you know, you have to, it's a routine kind of thing to do, but because you mean it. You sincerely mean it. God cares about little things in life. He's very involved in all of aspects of life. He knows when a sparrow lights on a branch. He gives it what it needs. It needs seed in order for it to feed itself and its young. That's something that a little bird is always going to be able to find. How much more does He know us and what we need? And He gives it to us. Jesus said to consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And if we walk this time of the year, we're seeing things coming back to life. We look out on the field and there's all those wildflowers. They haven't done anything. We haven't done anything for them. God allows a small seed to fall into the ground. He sends rain and they grow up looking beautiful. They don't do anything to make themselves look that way. The Lord makes them look that way. That's how much God cares. And it's amazing to think that what He gives us, congregation, He's not a God of disorder. He's not simplistic. He didn't create one type of vegetable to eat or one type of animal to eat. No, He's a God of variety. He's concerned about harmony and beauty. He created colors and tastes and flavors. He made everything. Think of all the things that our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, has made. He set up ecosystems. He made environments where plants and animals can grow. He brings seasons into being so that plants can grow at certain times of the year. He puts minerals in the soil to make the ground fertile. He brings rain in order for your vegetables in the garden to grow. It's from animals that we get our clothing and our meat. We read all about this in Psalm 104, where the psalmist says that the Lord has created the plants and animal kingdoms, and He controls the seasons in order for them to live. All these things are for our use. Congregation, all this goes to show us how much we count on the Lord. All things are from Him. We depend upon what He gives from day to day. And it shows how little we appreciate this when we do not recognize and affirm that He daily cares for us. Let us remember that it is the Lord who gives us the power to make a living. He gives us the ability to pick up a shovel and to dig a hole in the ground. He gives us the strength in our back to carry our little ones during the day. He alone is the one who gives us the ability to think and to reason. And to be intelligent in our decisions. He's the one who orders, who brings about that ability in us to manage and to order our business throughout the day. And therefore, the only appropriate response from us is to depend upon Him from day to day, to wait upon Him one day at a time. So let us be content with what He gives us, with the daily confidence in Him. He's blessed us with many things and deserves our thanks and praise for everything that we have. Well, thirdly and lastly, we make our request. And we notice that in that little word, give. Give us this day our daily bread. We're asking that He would supply all that we need for the day, even for small things. We're asking that He care for us physically, for all things needful for our body. That's why Jesus gave the fourth petition along with the fifth petition and the sixth petition. It gives us the proper balance in prayer. He wants us to be concerned. He is concerned about us not just spiritually, but bodily. As you know very well, we confess that in Lord's Day 1 of the Heidelberg Catechism, that I, with not just soul, but with body and soul, belong in life and in death, not to my own, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And so it's not unspiritual to ask God to care for us physically, since we are Christ's. He promises that He will give us all that we need in this life. Psalm 33, verse 18 says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, on those who hope in His mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive during the famine." Another very familiar passage is from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." And a little bit later, it says in that passage, "Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." This is what the Lord does for His own. The righteous always have provisions. There may be famines. There may be many struggles and problems in this world. The point of this prayer is that the saints are always cared for. The saints may not always have everything as abundantly as others, but they will always have what they need. So what should our attitude be? Again, we should be like Agur of Proverbs 30, who prayed, "Lord, please don't give me too much that I deny You. But please don't give me too little that I resort to stealing and blaspheme Your name. Please give me exactly what is allotted to me so that I may be content with that. And please help me not to be so concerned about my physical needs that I forget You." Because having too much can lead to pride. But having too little can cause us to renounce what this part of the Lord's Prayer is teaching. And therefore, we have to ask the Lord to help us pray this request with the wisdom of Agur. And that's exactly what Jesus meant by commanding us to ask that the Lord give us daily bread. It's a daily provision. He wants us to be content with what we basically need. He doesn't want us to be preoccupied with the physical. He says a little later on in this passage in Matthew 6, "Take no thought to your life." In other words, don't get anxious about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat and drink or about what you're going to wear. Rather, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The Lord is saying, if you'll just acknowledge that I am the one who provides, then I will take care of the rest. Don't get caught up worrying about things. I'm going to take care of you. All you have to do is trust me. Now, that doesn't mean that we're idle. God's word says that when you do not work, you don't eat. And it says you're worse than an unbeliever, an infidel, if you do not provide for your own household. Rather, He supplies our needs through our efforts. He gives bread for our labor when we're willing to work. But you might be wondering, well then, how does this apply to those who have much greater needs than us? What about God's people who suffer intense persecution? What about all the saints that we read about in Hebrews 11? And how some of them were mocked and scourged. How some of them were forsaken and thrown into jail. And they had to live in caves and in the desert and in mountains and in dens. And they only had goatskins and sheepskins for their clothing. Did the Lord hear their prayers? Doesn't that contradict what we've been talking about this whole afternoon? No, it doesn't. What about when we suffer serious illness and we grow weaker and weaker? What about when our health begins to fail? Doesn't that go against what we pray in this prayer? No, congregation, it can't. The Lord can't neglect His own. He still gives us what we need. And He'll give us what we need while we're in this present earthly life until we're brought into the next life. He supplies our needs until it is time for us to pass away. And He may choose to take us home at any time by taking away the basic needs of life. But all that is part of His great plan for us. So when this physical life ends, we won't be concerned about our daily bread. When we enter into His eternal presence, we don't have to pray this prayer anymore. We won't have to pray anymore because we will no longer be in need. We'll see God face to face. And so, congregation, when you pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," you're saying that you trust in the Lord. You're acknowledging that you belong to Him, both bodily and spiritually. You're praying to Him as those who are willing to walk in obedience and to submit to His will. You give thanks to Him, knowing that He will help you. And when you're praying this way, then you're acknowledging that you have a need. You need bread. You not only have spiritual needs, you have physical ones. And you need everything necessary for your bodies. And when you pray this way, you're acknowledging your source. He's the Lord who gives us what we need. Our request is that He bless us because we are His people. We ask the Lord to give us because we know that God is the source of all things. And what about the frequency of this prayer? How often are we to pray this? Well, we say, "This day," meaning we're to rely on Him one day at a time. We're simply saying, "Father, I trust You that You will give what I need for this day. I am content with what You give me from day to day. I am confident that You know exactly what I need. And I do not fear the future. I'm not afraid about tomorrow because I am in Your hands." Congregation, may we remember that He is our source and that all our physical needs are met in Him. And may the Lord continue to supply us that we may glorify His name. Amen.